The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, this Monday morning, John and I are going to be talking about Alita Battle Angel. We have a little bit of news to get to ahead of time. We had so much fun doing this. A couple of times that I had to do an outtake. Stay tuned at the end for that. There's another one at the end where we both just start cracking up. I actually left that in. We were laughing so hard. So let's just get into the story. We had a really good time. Hey, John, we're back. How are we doing?
We are back. I am also still doing great.
Nice. Nice. That's two times in a row you're doing great.
That's right.
You're always doing great. It's just your...
I'm always great.
It's just your enthusiasm of how great you're doing.
That's right.
That sometimes seems to be lacking. But that's you. You be you.
It's shades of greatness.
Shades of greatness.
That's the title of my autobiography.
Is that what you're getting tattooed on your shoulder? Shades of greatness.
Shades of greatness.
What's that? It's my nickname.
I like that.
Shades. I think we'll just call you Shades.
Yeah.
Well, you're... I'm Wheezy.
That's right. Team Wheezy.
I'm Wheezy. You're Shades. Oh, all right. So, FOC today, and just before we started, we were talking about this, the Batman number 80, Francisco Mattina. That was so nice.
It's awesome.
I hadn't seen it when you announced it the other day, and then I looked it up, and I'm like, it's spooky.
But it is.
Really good, really good.
It makes me wonder what happens in that issue.
Well, what's funny is you had mentioned, when we were talking earlier, you had mentioned that you're like, oh, his, you know, he also did the deceased number 5. And I'm like, did he mix these up?
Right.
like, which is which here?
But no, then you look at the deceased one and it's just as creepy.
Oh, so. But you would expect that.
Right.
But you're like, I mean, we know Tom King said, what, 78 and 79 are supposed to be the Batcat story.
Right.
And apparently that relationship doesn't go very well, according to this cover.
Yeah, he looks like he's knocking on death's door,
Is that the old marriage is a bitch thing? Like, what the heck happened?
He's looking ahead to see what would have happened if he got married. It's like It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. You know, except it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what was the one that you said? I forgot. I'm sorry.
The Fantastic Four, the J. Scott Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Mary Jane cover. Like I said, I'm just a sucker for J. Scott Campbell's art. I like everything he does. And this, you know, again, doesn't disappoint. I think it's a good-looking cover.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, looking at the Fantastic Four one. Wow. Wow, and that is nice. And wow, what a difference from Mattina's.
Yes. So it's a little bit more colorful and happy.
Yeah, because I'm also, I just pulled up the other Mattina and the deceased, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty bad. It's great cover, but it is creepy.
Yeah.
But then if you're listening to us right now, well, obviously you are listening, because if you're not, you're not hearing me. But
right.
If you have the opportunity, look up all three of these and see the difference. And the Fantastic Four one is, oh, man. That brightens your day, and the other two, you're like, just turn the car around and go back to bed.
I've mentioned this several times, but I think we have a lot of new listeners lately.
Yeah.
So, again, I post the cover. Everything we talk about on our Thursday FOC show, the covers are all posted on our Facebook page and Twitter account every Wednesday. So if you want to see any of the covers that we're talking about, you want to follow along while you're driving, I wouldn't do that. But otherwise, if you want to follow along, you can look and see what we're talking about.
Look at us taking care of public safety and everything.
That's right. It's a PSA.
Yep. So, all right. So, have you seen Titans yet?
I did see Titans.
What did you think?
I'm holding out judgment for the rest of the season, to be honest with you.
I'm
a little aggravated after episode one.
Really?
Yes.
So yeah. Let me guess. You don't like Batman.
No, I don't like that Batman. It doesn't make sense to me that Batman is as old as he is and he still has Jason Todd running around with him. But no, that's not actually what I'm aggravated about.
Oh, really? Yes. That's good news.
What I'm aggravated about is the fact that Raven beat Trigon in about 8 seconds with really no explanation on what happened and how she did it and where he went. And it just seemed like this really seemed to me, and I know that it was designed this way, this really seemed to me like a season finale and not a season premiere.
That's funny you say that. I actually thought the show was like you could, as I was watching the first half of the show,
right.
This is why they ended. I don't know. We could get into more of this on Wednesday,
yeah.
But I actually feel the same way.
Yeah.
I have like my idea of, Ian Glenn.
Ian Glenn, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, my idea of Ian Glenn as Batman, I'm holding that in reserve. I'm not, I agree with you. How is he that age? He's not in shape.
Right.
Even walking around, I'm not trying to body shame, but that is not a Batman shape.
Right.
It's the age if doesn't match the right. Jason it, Todd. It's,
if he's old he's retired
Damian
Batman.
Still has to show up at some point.
Right. It seems like he's old retired Batman.
Yeah.
But he's still training Jason Todd, which means he's still out there on the streets training him nightly.
Yeah.
And it seems, right, I'm a little, that's but not really this, what bothered me, but it is puzzling.
All of that is puzzling to me. Yes. And what I think is weird is I still enjoyed the show.
Yes, me too.
And I shouldn't say that I think that's weird. It's like there are things about it that I'm like, that's kind of, you know, and like I said, we can get into more about it on Wednesday. But by the end of the episode, I was like, I really am excited for the season.
Yes.
Liked the episode. I like what they're doing. Yeah, it felt like they wrapped up season one, like in the first half of the show, and then started season two in the second half of the show.
Yes.
I don't know.
It felt a little disjointed, you know, because it
or
it
no,
really...
actually in reverse, it felt too jointed.
Well,
it's like you got the buffer in the middle. There's a joint in there. It's like,
yeah.
When,
it felt like two different shows, two different episodes. You know, it really had a distinct split of where I felt like I said, it was a season finale versus a season premiere.
Right.
But like I said, I'm looking forward to the season. I am excited about it. I think it's going to be good. I am just a little irritated about the whole Trigon because that was exactly what I was afraid of.
Right.
Going into this episode, and it's exactly what happened. He was way too powerful of a character to just have been pushed into the into the upside down or wherever he is. I don't know. And maybe we haven't even seen the end of
Netflix.
Him. Right. Maybe we haven't seen the end of him yet. You know, time will tell. But that did bug me a little bit. And I thought, and again, I know this is this is TV versus feature film, but this is the first time that I felt like the CGI was a little wonky for him.
I didn't think it was wonky. I thought that's a tough character to pull off.
Yeah, but it wasn't as good as Swamp. But, like, it didn't have the quality that Swamp Thing seemed to have when it came to his CGI.
But I could see it's easier to do a Swamp Thing. There's a lot more you can play with there, whereas he's got a lot more skin showing, whereas Swamp Thing doesn't. And
it wasn't even so much his appearance, it was more his movement.
Right.
Like, his appearance overall I thought was good, but his movement seemed too choppy.
Yeah. It's like he had on a bad pair of high heels or
exactly.
something.
Right, he didn't know how to walk in his hooves yet.
So, alright, there's so much more I could get into.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows how long this is gonna go once we get into our topic, but, one other thing, cause who knows how long this is gonna go.
Okay.
There's a lot more Spider-Man, Sony, Marvel talk going on.
Yes.
People are complaining again But what I'm finding is people have just flat out stopped complaining about Sony or Marvel. And now it's just everybody's complaining that, oh, we're not going to get Spider-Man in the MCU.
Right.
It's like, that's it. They're not, it's a lot of the stuff I'm hearing is just people are upset that he's not going to be there. They're not even blaming anybody anymore. And I don't it's like, is that what we've reduced ourselves to?
Well, I would say Spider-Man has existed in comic books for 60 years. So if you really have to see Spider-Man, you know, rubbing elbows with the rest of the MCU, go read it in a comic book. You know, because in the comic books, he can be friends with Daredevil and Thor and Iron Man all he wants. So if you need that in your life, go read a comic. Otherwise, we had Spider-Man movies before he was in the MCU. Obviously, now we'll have Spider-Man movies after he's in the MCU.
The thing is I'm actually, and dare I say, this is probably a good thing that's happening right now, because did we think we were only getting Spider-Man from here on forward in the MCU?
Well, I think like people did think that, but...
Here's the thing. They made Iron Man movies. They made Thor movies. They made Captain America movies.
Right.
They were made by MCU.
Right.
One of the things... We're going to get Spider-Man movies that were... So far, they've been made in conjunction, Sony and Marvel.
Right.
Now, they're going to get... We're going to get Spider-Man movies. Marvel's just not helping.
Right.
And here's one of the things that people are forgetting or not, maybe they haven't seen it in one of the reports, not saying this is 100% true, but one of the reports is Sony backed away because Feige can't help. Basically, Marvel saying, we can't give you, you know, Feige's not going to be able to help you here. We still want to be a part. This is the deal, but Feige right now is so busy trying to build with the Eternals and everything else in Phase 4, he's not going to be able to give you as much input on Spider-Man. And Sony said, and I've seen this written, Sony is saying, well, if we don't get Feige, then what are we, why are we, because we have just as good a guys over here. Right. Or we have our guys, maybe not just as good, but our guys are fine. I think that's what they might have said. Whatever it is. But you know what I mean? So they're saying, well, if we're not getting Feige, we're backing away.
Right.
Because that's not worth us giving up the money. We'll do our own thing, and then maybe we'll come back to it later. You know, I don't see that as a problem.
Right.
You know, and anybody that has multiple kids, you have your first child, and then, oh, well, my wife's pregnant. She has to, I had, when my daughter was born, my second child, hey, mom, dad, can you watch Joe, my oldest, while we go have another baby?
Right.
Well, that's what's going on here. Sony's watching the baby. Sony's taking the baby while Feige goes and builds another phase here. You know what I mean? And it's like, why is everybody panicking? We're still going to get Spider-Man.
Well, because people are panicking because, you know, the Spider-Man we have currently is better than the Spider-Man that we've gotten in the past. And people are afraid that without Marvel's involvement, we're going to go back to having a Spider-Man that's not as good is what we had before. But, I mean, that's not a guarantee. You know, I mean, it's just speculation. So, I know why people are afraid that that's going to happen, but there's no guarantee that is what's going to happen. You know, Tom Holland is still there. And, you know, what happens when Tom Holland doesn't want to be Spider-Man anymore?
Right.
Whether Marvel's involved or not, it's still a whole new ballgame, you know, with what happened. So, nothing stays the same forever, and, you know, now we're in a world where we're going to have, at some point, a new Iron Man and a new Captain America, and maybe they are made by Marvel, but you know what, maybe they don't resonate as much with the public, and maybe they're not as good anymore. There's no guarantee that everything Marvel touches is going to be gold forever.
Exactly. You know? I would argue that, look at right within the MCU, we love Thor in the Avenger movies.
Right.
But some of his standalones aren't as good.
Iron Man as well, you know, I would say.
Exactly. People don't like... Now, Iron Man is like, he's the star of the Avenger movies. And same with Captain America. They're the stars of the Avenger movies. But then it's debatable on where their individual movies rank. But for some reason, everybody's so upset about Spider-Man. Whoa, you can't let Spider-Man. Right. It won't be as good. Go and look at those numbers that Sony has on Spider-Man. Those would probably rival the Iron Man's,
I was going to say,
standalone movies.
Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is probably still better than Thor: The Dark World. So
right.
And here, let's say this too. Like, I understand Kevin Feige's a genius, and all this stuff is great, but like, there's such a thing as putting too many eggs in one basket. Like, mm-hmm. if Kevin Feige goes out and gets in a car wreck and gets killed tomorrow, does the MCU go away? Like, all right. these things still have to continue. So there's gotta be other people that are capable of doing movies besides Kevin Feige. Like, movies existed before he did, and I would argue that we still had good movies. So as good as he is and as much as he does, he right. can't be the end-all be-all of what we consider a good movie. So.
Exactly. And call me crazy, but what if it's, now, Tom Holland was in the MCU. He's leaving, quote, leaving the MCU and going off and playing with other characters in the Sonyverse.
Right.
What if Sony borrows a character or two from MCU and puts it there? You're expanding that universe.
Right.
You know, Carnage will never come into the MCU. Carnage or Venom. Those characters might never go to the MCU, but we know they're all part of the same universe because now you have your
Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, you have your Spider-Man there, but I was going to say your degrees of separation, and we're like, was Kevin Bacon in any of these yet? Right. You know, it's like, so you know what? It's like Spidey's talking to a guy over here, but then he comes into the MCU, he's talking to this guy here. If you get a couple more to cross over, bit characters or something, it's like, what if Chris Hemsworth just drops in on a Sony movie? We'd lose our minds.
Right.
Because now the universe has just expanded. So instead of getting upset about all this, why not look at the possibilities? Doesn't it mean these have to come true, but we're still getting Spider-Man.
Right.
So I'd say that's enough on that, but I'm sure it'll come up again.
I'm sure it will.
Because
it's still on every news feed 100 times a day.
Right.
On Twitter, Facebook, it doesn't matter where you look, this story is still a thing. So it's going to come up multiple times before we're right. done talking about it. So,
all right. That enough on that. We got enough of this. This is going to be a long one.
Yeah, I think so.
What a fun one. I'm having a blast. All right. So you ready to get into Alita Battle Angel?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd give you whatever I have. I'd give you my heart.
Alita, they will come for you.
Why?
I think you are someone very special.
May you stay in the arms.
All right. So, last week, we were at a loss for what to do next. And we went back and forth. And this one, literally, while we were going back and forth, it popped in my head because we didn't even really talk about it when it came out in the theaters.
No.
And it would have been a perfect one. We did a whole girl power episode. I think we might have mentioned it, but we didn't.
I don't think we mentioned it at all, to be honest with you.
I'll have to go back and listen.
This was pretty far off of my radar, honestly.
Yeah.
It didn't look super interesting to me from the, you know, when it was being advertised from the trailers that I didn't watch, but like the commercials or anything, I wasn't super hyped for this movie.
So,
honestly,
I wasn't at first, but then after hearing some of the reviews on it and the positive reviews, people saying like it, there were people comparing, saying it was better than Captain Marvel. So that kind of intrigued me. And then when it came out on Blu-ray, I grabbed it the day it came out, hadn't even opened it. And I said, you know, last week I said to you, I was like, what about doing this one? You know, I was like, I have it. And so, like we do with most of these, I don't need the digital copy. So you get the digital, I get this. And, you know, I'm sure the check will be in the mail and we're splitting these things.
It
but
is. Yep.
I'm just kidding.
The residuals are coming.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, so I was kind of excited to watch it. It is a James Cameron movie.
Yes.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Well, he wrote and produced it, but Robert Rodriguez directed it, right?
Well, yeah, we can get into more of that a little bit later, in a little bit. But once I started watching it, and I was like, holy, it's weird to say that I was excited to watch it, and it passed my expectations.
Yeah, I'll say the same. Like I said, I wasn't super interested in this movie before I watched it, I was really blown away. Like, I thought it was great. I loved it.
Yeah. I'm the same thing. And the sad thing is, I'd said to you, I'm going to watch it and then I'm going to read the comic. Cause I wanted to do, you know, I was like, I wanted that opportunity to see, compare and, you know, but I went to look up the comic and it's based, this movie is actually based on three different versions. There's an anime, there's a manga, and it pulls from different stories. And so what I ended up, I started reading one of them. So I get the idea. It was, I got it off of, I looked it up on, Comixology. And it's because it's, I believe I was reading the manga one. So I started reading it and then I was like, well, it didn't really play to the movie too much. So then I started to do some research on why. And then that's when I found out that it's like actually pulling from all these different places. But it, from what I've read, it is pretty faithful to what it pulls from. Okay. So I can't say that on my own, cause I haven't read it myself. But that in my research, that's what I found.
Right. Cause that, and I have never read any of it either. And I told you that when we decided we were going to do this as a topic, I said that I would be able to watch the movie, but probably wouldn't get a chance to read anything. But what you just described sounds like something that would actually irritate readers. You know what I mean? Like faithful readers of the story were probably irritated by the fact that this movie came out and didn't follow any of the storylines, or you know what I mean? Because that's how people get. If I loved Alita Battle Angel before the movie came out, it's one of those things where I would probably be irritated by the way they treated it when the movie came out.
But from what I've read, I hadn't read anybody that was upset about it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I just haven't seen it. But what I did see was people were happy with how they an accurate adaptation. Because what it pulls from is accurate. Right. So it's just giving you different features. From everything I've gathered is that it is a faithful representation. They just borrow from different parts to tell this particular story. And this is my interpretation of what I've read. It's that they just wanted to give you as much information as they could in this movie. So that's why they borrowed from different places. And I think in that way, that's maybe why I haven't seen any negative feedback. I mean, if anybody has been reading this, that's listening to us, let us know. I'm like, cause that'd be kind of cool to hear, you know, did you not like it because it wasn't that way? But so last week when we compared the movie to the book and you said it would only be like a 2 second episode, are we going to be able to keep this? Are we going to be able to keep this podcast going or are we done? We both liked it. We can't compare it to the book.
I think we're done.
Because last week you kind of yelled at me and said, well, if we don't compare it, what are we going to talk about?
I didn't yell at you, but last week our topic was specifically
I'm embellishing
both. You know, it was, I know. We were talking about both. This week we're only talking about the movie because like I said, you've read very little of it. I haven't read any of it. So.
Yeah.
I couldn't compare it if I wanted to. So, yeah, we're done.
Yep.
See you next week, folks.
So, get into the movie then.
Well, I mean, visually, it's, like, remarkable, you know?
Yeah. So, first off, you notice, if you've seen her, look at her, Rosa Salazar.
Rosa Salazar, yeah. Yes.
And it's like, I mean, it looks just like her, except they gave her those anime eyes.
Right.
Which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
It looked so good. And then in my reading, they said Robert Rodriguez had said that's what he wanted. He wanted to get that on screen, the anime eyes on a character next to like Christopher Waltz, like a real character.
Right.
You know what I mean? To see that. And then he even mentioned that when we got to some of the, like, the emotional parts and seeing the emotion in those eyes, it just really, really came out and jumped out at you because of that, because of those eyes, the size of them.
It did. They did a great job with the animation was great. Like I said, the visuals, this was pretty, it's not a, pretty world that they live in.
No.
But visually it was pretty, like it was very appealing.
Right.
You know, I mean, it really was, it was done very well.
I've had this running theme in my head ever since. What was the book you were talking about? I believe it was last 2 weeks ago, and it was a post-apocalyptic story, and you didn't like it. The Mall, that's right. We were talking about the Mall, and you were like, I'm tired of this post-apocalyptic trope, right? So, no, get this. So, I told you we went to see, last weekend, we had gone to see, what the heck is the name of it?
Bat Out of Hell.
Yes. Yeah, Bat Out of Hell. It was unreal, all right? I mean, I don't like musicals, I don't like plays, I don't like these things. I wanted to jump out of my seat and clap. It was that much fun. And it was like a rock concert. I tweeted it out at the time. But it's basically, so the story, Bat Out of Hell, is a post-apocalyptic Peter Pan story. So we're sitting here, and the whole time I was thinking of you, and I'm like, oh, John wouldn't like this. He doesn't like these stories anymore. And I'm like, so then you come to this movie, I'm watching this movie, and you're like, I was thinking, oh, great. He's not going to like this. Another post-apocalyptic story.
But it just seems like that's where we live now. Exactly. Every story we watch is Umbrella Academy. Like, think back to almost everything we've talked about for the last several months.
Yeah.
It all revolves around a dystopian post-apocalyptic future. I don't know. It seems to be the only way we can tell a story these days is if we go to our future where we've destroyed ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Because it's an indictment on our current world situation.
Yeah. So a couple other things before we get into spoilers and stuff. The story about Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron and stuff. So James Cameron has wanted to do this for a long time. So he had this on his, you know, on his plate at the same time he had Avatar. And it was really for him, it was a toss up on which one was going to get made. And he decided to go with Avatar. All right, let's go to Robert Rodriguez for a second. He's had this on his plate since, like, 95. He's wanted to make this movie. So now we go. Now, James Cameron does the first Avatar. It goes bananas.
I was going to say, he probably made the right decision at the time.
Well, I don't know about that. Because what if he put the effort that he put into Avatar by himself and made this movie? We might have, by the end of this, it's not a spoiler, but by the end of this movie, this was like a number one issue of a comic book. Because when the movie ended, my wife and I are sitting there and we were disappointed that the movie ended.
Right.
You know, it like, you were like, no, there's got to be more. It's like you wanted it to go on from there because the way the story built, it really built you right to that ending, and we'll get into that in spoilers, but it really built to that ending where you were like, yeah, here we go. Now it's going to, what? It's over? And yeah. I mean, I can't say I've never looked forward to a sequel more, but I mean, I'm hoping they make a sequel out of this.
There's talks of a trilogy.
Oh, good.
But this also didn't kill it at the box office. So we may not get it.
But did it make its money back?
It did. I think I read that it did around $600 million total.
Oh, for the love
which, of it. You know, obviously, like I said,
imagine
that's,
you
for me and you,
$600 million and that's not a killing dollars. It.
Well, but look back when we talked about Justice League way back when, it did $750 million and it was a disappointment.
Okay, I just pulled up the numbers. Budget was $170 million estimated. Opening weekend was $28 million and change, and it only grossed $404 million
domestic or worldwide.
Worldwide, okay, gross by country. U.S. was 85. It did 85 million. It just in this country. So, I mean, it more than doubled its budget. Which
right, but is that enough to get a sequel? That's the question.
Well, you know, you'd have to. I mean, that's just the box office. So you'd have to look at like. People, you and I don't count to that, the box office. We didn't see it in the theaters. So maybe it picks up legs in, you know, once it goes streaming on Netflix or something or wherever. And I mean, for people like you and I, we watched it on the, with the Blu-ray. So I mean, maybe it picks up legs. I know, I mean, I didn't see it in the box office, and now I'm dying for a sequel. So hopefully
Well, that was the first thing I did. I mean, the first thing I looked at when I finished was whether there was a sequel in the works. Because, like you, it ends, and you're not done.
No.
You know?
Which I think is a great testament to the movie.
Yes.
So anyways, getting back to James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez. So Cameron goes with Avatar. And then, and this is all, and I got all this information from IMDb. Cameron basically says, I'm going to do Avatar the rest of my life. And,
right.
And Robert Rodriguez is like, well, what do you think of, you know, Alita? And, or actually called Battle Angel. And he said, he goes, well, if you want it, you know, we'll go back and forth. You want to write a story for it? Go ahead. So we did. He spent, I think three months writing it. And went back and forth with James Cameron. And he has a nice little thing, like how helpful James Cameron was. And it's like, and Robert Rodriguez being as successful as he's been is like, it was a great way to be an understudy or something like that. It's like,
right.
To James Cameron. Cause the guy, he's like, I'd ask him a question, he said, and he goes, he'd come back with these very in-depth answers and stuff. So you could see James Cameron had a hand in this, but Robert Rodriguez did all the heavy lifting and stuff when it came right. to the movie. This is the biggest budget that he's ever had for a movie, Robert
and
Rodriguez.
It's the biggest gross that any of his movies have ever had.
Yeah. I mean, I like Robert Rodriguez's movies. So, I mean, it's,
yes.
But this one is, you can definitely tell James Cameron, you know, he's got his hands in this, of course. Very technical world.
Visually, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just the one thing visually I'll say that I was a little, I don't know if you noticed this, but on my screen, the lip sync to her mouth didn't come off as well for me. It was like very, like you could really tell it was animated.
I didn't see that as much when I was watching it. It didn't stand out anyways.
There were times where I was like, ooh, you know, I mean, it didn't detract really? From the movie. Because I understood right. why. I mean, you're literally, you know, you're rendering her face every single right. frame.
Oh, yeah.
She looks fantastic. And especially when you look and find out what she really looks like, you're like, wow. It looks just like her, but rendered like
It does. Yes. They did a great job. Because I had to, like I said, I had to pull up IMDb while I was watching it to see how closely it was. And they did a really great job.
Yeah. So, James Cameron gave it over to him, and so I'm hoping that, obviously, like we said, I'm hoping they do a sequel.
Yes.
All right, anything else before we get into spoilers?
Well, I guess the last thing I'll say, because this isn't really necessarily a spoiler, but I will say that the people of this world have it pretty tough, because I didn't see a single person on screen, with the exception, I think, of Christoph Waltz. That didn't have some kind of mechanical body part. Like, everybody's losing limbs like they're losing their car keys in this world.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of day-to-day life these guys have, but it's pretty precarious.
Well, it is post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it is, but but there's a lot of missing. There's a lot of missing limbs going on in this world. I noticed like every single person I saw had an arm or a foot or something going on. So don't want to live there. That's all. Don't want to vacation there. Don't want to be there.
All right. We can get into more of that in spoilers too. So, all right. You ready to get into spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. Here come the spoilers.
All right.
First thing of note, and this, and
Rosebud is a sled.
What's that?
Rosebud is the name of the sled.
Oh, jeez.
That's spoiler.
So, a little John Wick here. That's what jumped out at me. That's the first spoiler I wanted to go with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean. So
I don't, because she didn't lose her dog.
Yes, she did. In all the posters, we see Alita Battle Angel, and she's got the red paint under her eyes.
Yes.
That's the dog's blood. The dog,
okay.
Remember in the bar scene right before, that was a...
Well, I remember there was blood on the floor that she ran her fingers in.
Right. That was because that guy came in and killed the dog.
You're right. Yes. Okay.
He walked in the room and you were like, no.
I was like, wait, what dog? She didn't have a dog. But yes,
the mutt from the
now
street.
Now I remember.
The dog from the street that she had befriended and saved, like, opening scene of the movie.
Right.
And the guy comes in and just squishes it. You never see it. It's off camera. But he kills the dog, and then she takes the blood from the dog and puts it under her eyes and just goes nuts. Right. And we can jump around on this movie all we want because I had such a good time with it. But that bar scene, that fight scene was incredible.
It was pretty, pretty awesome.
All
of her fight scenes were phenomenal. Like the action in this movie was out of this world, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what it's called, the rollerball. I can't remember what it's called, but you know, all those scenes, like I said, really, really well done. Very exciting. Like the whole movie kept you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. You come into it with, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what character's good, what character's bad. It grabs you pretty quickly.
Yes.
But like you said, those action scenes, I think it's, what was the name of the fighting style that she knew from, it was like Panzer or something like that?
Yeah,
or,
I can't remember. Like, robot jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it was something like that.
I mean, it had a made up name. I, you know, obviously had never heard of it before, but yes, it was a fighting style that was only androids.
Yeah. Used. And she's like, 300 years old?
It's yeah, so like you that. Find out she's from before the fall.
Right.
So you don't know a lot about, like, they don't go really deep into her backstory. You know she was a soldier.
You get flashbacks, yeah.
Yeah, there's flashbacks about her her previous life.
Battling
and you
on
find out that she
Mars.
Was a soldier up in the city, wherever the...
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the city. We're really bad. I should have wrote this stuff down.
Yeah, like
but
Zion.
I can't remember the name of Zion, yeah.
No, that's from Matrix, but yeah.
I know, but... You know, she was up there. Like, she's from the city, you know, was fighting in some kind of battle where, I guess she fell and ends up in a junk heap.
Yeah.
For 300 years. But.
So, yeah, you don't get much of her backstory. I mean, like I just said, you get it a little bit in flashbacks, but that's kind of how the movie it plays that way on purpose. That's what keeps you on the edge of your seat. You don't know where you know she was from 300 years ago. You learn that fairly early on. Jump into that for a second. One of the things I thought was kind of weird, but I guess that would play to the post-apocalyptic technology in that when you find out at the end, like her battle body that she's supposed to have, that's far more advanced than what they have now. Well, now in that time period. You know, but it's 300 years old, but I guess because of the apocalypse, they're rebuilding their technology.
Well, because he said that when he was talking about her heart also, that it was lost technology, that it was stuff they didn't know how to build anymore. Because her heart also was, you know, the power supply was so much more advanced than what they're currently able to do.
Right.
And I think that, you know, whatever the fall was, they lost. I'm doing air quotes like everybody can see me.
Yeah.
But whatever happened in the fall, they lost a lot of that.
Not the spring or
technology.
The winter, but in the fall.
Right. But let's talk about the battle body for a second since you brought it up. I was actually going to wait a second. Cause you know how I feel about convenient storylines. So
that is it was one a little difference that I heard isn't in the book. She doesn't find the body that way.
Well, no, but what I was going to say is even in the context of the movie, she goes down into the ship. The ship responds to her person, you know, her.
And I like her friends that are with her, like, can she breathe underwater?
Right.
Well, we're going to find out.
But she comes up with the battle body, brings it home to Dr. Ito / dad and says, I want to be put in this body. And he says, no way. I'm never going to put you in this. You need to stay away from it. And then the very next scene, she goes and gets her body destroyed.
Right.
And then the very next scene after that, she's getting put in her battle body. So that was a little convenient.
It was yeah, I agree with you.
You knew that it was going to happen.
Of course.
Like, you knew she was going to end up in the body.
Of course.
But still, it was like, well, I'm never going to put you in that body. And then, oh. I guess I'll put you in that body.
Right. But I think that was kind of a fatherly thing. Like, you don't want your kids to do what you did. You don't want your kids to be in danger. So you're like, you try to avoid it like all parents try. And then eventually you come to your senses and go, well, look, I can't keep you away from this forever. The best way to keep you safe is to give you the the tools to be safe.
Well, right, and it didn't hurt that the body she had was completely destroyed, so
gone.
There was like no other option, really.
Right.
But I was just, as I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, well, that's convenient.
You know? Of course it is. Yeah. Getting back to the whole James Cameron reference, did you pick up on Ito's name?
No, I'm sure it has something to do with the Terminator, but...
Yeah, his name's Dr. Dyson Ito, which isn't from
That's
the books.
That's right, okay.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah.
Miles Dyson from the Terminator, right. Who was the lead scientist at Cyberdyne.
Right.
And now he is also this, you know, Dr. Dyson Ito is the same type of scientist here in this story.
Right.
Which I
well,
thought
was... Well, there was a lot of Terminator...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of Terminator influence in this. All the cybernetics.
All the cybernetics, the... This is a movie that I want, because of all that, I want to watch it again. I haven't had an opportunity since we watched it. I'm dying to watch it again. It was that much fun.
I'll probably watch it Saturday afternoon.
Nice.
After I get my new technology.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Peek behind the curtain. John's upgrading his home theater to basically, I think you're ending up with everything I got, right? Just in a living room, not a dedicated room, but
yeah, it'd be
you're going to be
13 speaker system, I think, altogether with the subs.
11-1. So. Yeah. Oh yeah. With the subs too. Yeah. 13. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. This is going to be a great movie for that.
I'm looking forward to being blown. Well, I was trying to decide, we were talking earlier, what was going to be the first movie that I was going to watch once I got it all set up. And I thought maybe it would be Saving Private Ryan, because I just bought it, but it might be Alita. Nobody cares about this but me and you, but
hey,
it might be Alita Battle Angel, now that I'm thinking about
it. We're allowed to nerd out here and there.
Yeah. I mean, this is a nerd podcast by nerds for nerds. So
right.
If we can't,
yeah.
If we can't
nerdy,
nerd out.
On the Nerdy Legion. If you can't nerd
we're
out
we're really
here.
Not, we're not really living up to our manifesto if we don't nerd out every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I was listening. Speaking of nerding out, Nerdy Legion, I was listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast the other day. I think it came out Wednesday. And I was listening to that. And they actually, Martin referenced us a couple of times. It was pretty cool. We're getting advertising for
getting
us
noticed.
Over there. Yeah.
Team Wheezy, moving on up.
Yeah, here we go. Yep. It's going good. But yeah, no, this is definitely one you're going to want to watch again on the new system. It was really good to stick with this nerd theme for a second. The sound was so good. And the special effects and everything you saw, that's not going to change for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was such a fun movie. But getting back to the references of Cameron and Terminator, the skulls that they had were like the Terminator. They had the same access points, the same seams, if you will.
Right.
There were so many little things that I'm dying to go back now that I know the story, and I'll be able to nitpick and stuff. I know it's late right now, and like I'm so excited about it. I want to when we're done recording, go watch it.
What was the name of the main bad guy, bounty hunter? You know, the guy with the sword. Basically, he was just a big.
Not
he was
Vector.
Just a big.
Not,
yeah, but he was
not
just a
Vector.
Big Terminator.
That was
you know?
Mahershala Ali was Vector.
Right.
Oh, Zapan? Zapan,
yeah,
it was
something like that.
Yeah, Ed Skrein, the guy from
Ed
Deadpool.
Skrein, right. Right.
He was
but
bad
yeah,
guy
he was
Deadpool.
Like I said, he was basically just a big Terminator.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Well,
picture the Terminator with like one piece of human skin on the face.
Right.
And that's what you got. So
yeah.
Obviously a lot of technology that Cameron's learned over the years doing the Terminator movies was put into play.
Well, here. Cameron's developed a lot of this technology himself.
Yeah.
Like I know the Abyss is what led to the T-1000. If you remember the Abyss, and they had where they could manipulate the water like
the
that.
Water. Yeah.
That's what that technology they developed, knowing that he wanted to do that in Terminator 2.
Right.
With the T-1000. So, I mean, he's up there with George Lucas and developing technologies and stuff that go into movie making for years to come.
I mean, I didn't see any big blue cats running around in this movie, but
no.
otherwise.
So anyways, it was funny when he showed up that bag as a pan and
Ed Skrein? Skrein?
Yeah, Skrein, Skrein, Skrein.
Yeah, Skrein, yeah.
But yeah, as soon as he showed up on screen.
Nice.
So he shows up on screen. And I said to my wife, I'm like, that's really too bad because she's like, what? I go, look at him. Cause he is from like literally not the neck down from like the
just
chin.
The chin. Yeah.
The chin is mechanical and it comes right out and down and the rest of them is all rendered. Right.
Right.
The guy's jacked.
Oh yeah.
In real life. Yeah. It's like you see him in Deadpool. And when I say he's jacked, he's like, what is he, like 6'2" or something ridiculous? He's like a big guy,
dude.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like he spends all this time getting in shape for these roles. And it's like, oh, don't worry about it. We're just gonna render that out. I'm like,
we're just gonna use your face.
Right. They could have used Fat Thor.
Right.
that's actually, you say that, it's kind of funny because they actually did the reverse on Chris Hemsworth. They took him with a decent body and gave him that, and this guy's got a decent body, and they just rendered him a robot.
Took it away, right?
It's like apparently that's the way to go now.
Yeah, that's the way to go in Hollywood.
Yep. I could stop working out and just have somebody render me all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, the story is, I don't know if you're listening to us and you haven't. I mean, I think people will listen to this that haven't seen it, even though we're doing spoilers now. It's so good.
It's really good. I mean, some of the,
let's say,
it
why
falls apart a little bit. Like some parts of the story, the screenwriting it's a little trite. I thought. I mean, this movie, the strength of this movie is the visuals and the special effects, the storytelling.
Well, not just that though. It's like you can't just throw a bunch of fireworks and action scenes together and say, "Yay, that's entertaining." I thought the way the movie flowed, it's like. So you open up, you don't, and that's why, like I said earlier, I'm so excited. I'm jumping around in my own head about this. You don't know, right? So like when we said earlier, you don't know any of her backstory. You don't know anything. I think it really plays to this movie if you haven't read the books and you're like, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. You're trying to figure out what's going on. I wasn't even sure if Christoph Waltz was a good guy or a bad guy at first.
Well, in the beginning, they intentionally led you that way.
Right.
Because you hear about the woman being murdered, and then of course he conveniently comes walking, strolling in late at night with blood on his arm.
Blood on his hands, yeah.
So they're kind of leading, and even I fell for, and I shouldn't have fell for that, right? We should have known right away that there was going to be something different, but when we were watching it, Lydia, you know, my wife turned to me and said, is he going to go out and kill this person? I said, well, it looks that way because he seems to be the killer.
Right.
Which my mind went to, he was harvesting parts. Because he was, I thought he was kind of Frankensteining out there and killing people for parts. But that obviously wasn't the case. But when I was talking about the story, like the overall story I thought was very good. Like I enjoyed the movie a lot. I just felt like there was, my favorite word, but there was some conveniences. You know,
you're gonna have those in movies if you
haven't.
But
I think the characters turned too quickly. Like I think Hugo, the boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think he flipped his personality a little too quickly. I think Jennifer Connelly flipped her personality a little too quickly. Like they redeemed themselves fast, like from one scene to the next.
They
you know?
Did, but they did. I agree with you. It did flip fast, but you saw the flip coming. All right, so
I did with him. I didn't see it with her though.
Well, she's the mother. I knew that she would eventually flip, and if I see it coming, I don't consider. Yes, it is fast, but it's a 2-hour movie, so it's got to come. You know, it has to happen in a timely manner. But the fact that I saw it coming and it didn't come until that when it finally does, to me, that's decent pacing. To me, yeah, her flip may feel a little bit quicker. But you kind of knew that she was going to have to, and it was kind of
See, I didn't. I didn't see it. Like, I expected her to be bad all the way through. Yeah. His, you can see, right? It's the classic, you know,
boy
love
loves
story.
Girl, yeah.
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 You could kind of see
his
coming. Boy's
a rebel, boy cleans up act. Yeah.
Right. Even though I still felt like when it happened, I still felt like it
right
was a little
although,
a little quick.
I'll tell you, as much as like, and this gets back to what you said when we were going spoiler-free about how everybody has missing parts, even though you see that throughout the movie that everybody has missing parts, it is shocking when Hugo gets sliced apart and then they put, you know what I mean? And then they, because I mean, in our world right now, in your mind, it's like, what happened to him is you're done.
Right. Well, she cut his head off. So,
well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? But yeah. she had, because of her heart and her, she had the capability to sustain him.
Right.
And they, you basically, it's like, look, I'll save you. Let me cut your head off. What? And it's, you know, but they don't tell you that, obviously. And this is more misdirection and stuff. But I thought that was, you know, that was really cool how they did that. And that's how she, you know, that's part of how they manipulate you through this movie. And I feel bad if you, if people have, are still listening and they haven't seen it, but I mean, all of this is,
it's all spoilers.
It's all spoilers now, but it is, it's really, really good. And again, like you said, it's there. Of course, it's not a perfect movie.
No. And what I wanted, and obviously we can't go back and rewrite the movie based on the way we think it should have been, but I felt like it would have been much more compelling if Hugo had woken up and not been happy that he had been
brought back,
turned into, yeah, brought back and turned into a cyborg. Like, because maybe not everybody wants that. Like, I'm not sure I would want that.
So
I might want to just go when my time. So I feel like the movie, I feel like they missed a beat a little bit. If they could have made more tension there if they would have gone a different route with that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They'd been building to that throughout the movie, because one of the first things he says to her, if I were you and I had those powers, I would run right up there to that city. And what is, what does he do as soon as he gets that ability? He runs.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's part of the storyline, is that everybody living on the ground is looking up at that city like, that's the place we have to get to. And there are people like the Vector, Mahershala Ali's character, that are manipulating people on the ground with the hopes of getting there, when there's no way to get there.
Oh, there is a way.
Well,
he showed you how he sends people up
in pieces.
Exactly.
And that's a reveal. But
which I like that. I thought that was awesome.
Pretty cool.
He's like, I never lied to anybody. If I tell you I'm going to send you up, I'm going to send you up. I just didn't tell you how you were going to get there, you know?
Right. And that's, but I mean, the only way to get there in one piece is to win the rollerball powerball.
Right, become the grand champion or whatever, the final champion.
Right.
Of rollerball, roller derby.
And we'll get into that at the end. We'll wrap up with that. But yeah, I just, it's, there's so many little, and in an animated movie like this, there's so many little nooks and crannies to this movie that it just keeps you engaged the entire time. Never mind the spectacle of it that we've mentioned over and over so far. But I will say, though, that, and I should have mentioned this in spoiler free, as soon as this started, the first thing I thought of was Ghost in a Shell.
I was going to make that comparison as well.
Have you seen that?
When I saw Ghost in a Shell.
Yeah.
And I think, and I was going to bring this up when I talked about people that were familiar with reading the book being upset with the, you know, with the movie.
Okay.
Because that's what happened with Ghost in the Shell. You know, a lot of people felt like that movie didn't follow,
which movie?
The books.
Okay.
Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
A lot of people were upset with Ghost in the Shell because they felt like it wasn't faithful to the books that they loved.
Which
a lot
Ghost
of people
in the
were
Shell,
up-
though? The comic? The movie? The animated one? Or the
No, I'm talking
Scarlett
about
Johansson.
The Scarlett I'm talking about the live-action movie.
Okay,
I never saw the animated movie, so.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. The animated movie was the part that it wasn't faithful to, as faithful as it could have been to the animated.
Well, they didn't like the live action movie either.
No. I'm saying that what people were upset about
what
in the live action was it wasn't faithful to the animated feature.
Right. Again, not to mention that we won't even go into the casting, you know, there's a lot of people were upset with the casting on that movie.
Right.
But other than, I mean, there's a similar world, obviously,
right,
that both movies take place in.
But what I meant was, like, so I'm a big Ghost in the Shell fan. I've been following it. I watched the animated years and years ago, back in the 90s. A buddy of mine turned me on to it, and he was like, you've got to see this one. I was watching a lot back then, right? Akira and, Vampire Hunter D, all that stuff. I really liked Ghost in a Shell. And then when this movie started, when Battle Angel started, I was like, this is going to be like, not knowing anything about it, I was like, this is kind of a like Ghost in the Shell knockoff here. And then as it went on, it's not.
It's
a different
not.
Story. It's a cyborg.
Yeah.
That's about it. But
it kills a lot of people.
Yeah. It's, but yeah, it's a, I actually enjoyed this more than the, I think Ghost in the Shell is deeper.
Yeah.
But this as an entertainment value is much better.
Yeah.
It's far more entertaining. Let's get, how did you like Jennifer Connelly?
Well, I mean, I like her overall. If you're talking about Jennifer Connelly, I think she did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, I like her as an actress. I mean, her character wasn't super likable through most of the movie. She was sympathetic. You know, she was a sympathetic character because obviously any mother that loses their child, you know, has an interesting arc. But a lot, I couldn't really figure her out in some cases.
Yeah.
Like, I really didn't know what side she was on. She was, because what was the, you know, Vector was Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
But what was the other guy's name? Nova?
Who?
The boss, like the big bad guy.
Yeah, Nova.
Nova,
that's
right?
Who, yeah, and that's who she
was. Because he was speaking, right, because he was speaking through Vector and giving her commands. And so you got the feeling that she was going to stab Vector in the back to do whatever Nova wanted her to do. But
right.
I didn't really see that play out, like, in the story. Like, I never really saw her selling him out or going behind his back and doing anything. So I kind of feel like that was an unresolved plot point that that they kind of set up and didn't follow through with. And maybe it's because she had her revelation at the end and turned away from both of them.
Right. Well, I think she found out, she saw, like, a little bit, you know, peek behind the curtain. She didn't realize what was really going on.
Right. But
and when Mahershala Ali shows off the, you know, this is how I send them up, I think that was a turning point in her mind. But my overall thing on her was, getting back to you saying, like, we, most of the characters in this movie had, you know, missing parts, and she didn't. And I felt like her acting purposefully, I don't think it was bad acting, but I felt like she was acting almost like a cyborg herself at the beginning, because it was, didn't it come off as, like, very cold?
Well, she did come off as very cold, but she did have missing parts. Well,
in that,
the stone signifies people from the city have the stone.
Right. If you were born up there, you have the stone, but
right,
why?
But she was born up there.
Right, and so was Christopher Waltz's
character. So was Christopher Waltz. But when he came down,
Waltz.
he took it off.
Yeah, he said he removed it himself. Like,
right.
and I felt
I don't
like,
know what it was for
exactly.
Though, really,
and I felt like that was the way he expressed it. I felt like that was like a major surgery. You know what I mean? It's not like it didn't feel like it was like, oh yeah, when
right,
I came down,
just,
I popped it off.
Right, it wasn't just glued on and you just
right.
popped it off.
No, he can't. He's like, no, I removed that myself, and that goes to his acting too, because I can say that line like, oh, I removed it when I came down. And it's like, yeah, okay, so what was it, a Band-Aid? But the way he expressed it to me, it felt like that was a major surgery. So you know what I mean? But then she still has it on, so she wants, almost like her character wants that identity that, yes, I was born up there.
Right.
He wants nothing to do with it. So that's a whole other backstory that we don't get on why. There's so much information here that we can get in sequels that'll be a lot
of
fun.
Because we don't know anything about the city, really. The only glimpses we even get of it are just Nova standing, looking out down
right
below. So you don't really know. Again, it may be a case where, you know, we talked about it when we talked about the mall a couple weeks ago, the comic, where I said, well, when they open the mall, the whole place could be green outside and they don't know it. I mean, up in the city could be just as wasted or devastated as it is down there. We don't know.
Like, right.
They don't really know what's going on up there.
They could be harvesting body parts up there to find cures for things that are going
right.
on. You know, we have no idea what's going on.
Well, I was going to go back to what you said about how everybody seemed to be missing pieces except for her. And the piece she was missing is her child. Like, I would argue she's missing
so
a bigger
he.
Piece than
right.
anybody.
Right.
You know?
And so is Christoph Waltz.
And if you look at the two of them as characters, they're the only two, except for Hugo in the beginning, they're like the only characters you see in the whole movie that don't have some kind of cybernetic part, is the two that lost their child. You know,
right?
Everybody else is missing something, like you say, except for Hugo and, well, I guess his little gang of hooligans.
Yeah,
they all seem to be in one piece. But yeah, like I said, there's lots about her. Like I said, there's lots about that whole world that we didn't get answers to, in this movie. But I was going to go back to her specifically because you asked me what I thought about her character.
Her, like, Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I loved the fact that she thought that she was just going to say, I'm done, and turn around and walk out of the office like nothing was going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, how naive are you that she was like, okay, well, I'm finished and I'm just going to leave now. And like, I knew that wasn't going to happen. And you knew it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So I don't know what she thought was going on in that situation where she was just going to turn around and walk out of that office and nothing was going to happen. But I didn't expect that reveal. Like, I was legitimately surprised when he says, well, let me show you what happened to her. And he opens up the box and it's like her eyeballs and
right.
her brain. And I was like, I was not expecting that.
No.
But now she definitely comes back in the sequel as some kind of, you know, android killer. I'm sure they make something out of her.
So the getting to surprises, when I was shocked when Hugo fell off, when he died, because they had just spent all that time and energy bringing him back. She does everything to save him.
Yeah, he didn't get to enjoy his robot life too long.
No, and then immediately his first act is to go out and just get killed.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's not trying to. He was trying to get to where his dream was. To me, I thought that was great storytelling right there, because it's like, usually you don't do that in movies. You know, usually you're like, you bring a character back for him to play a role.
Well, yeah, but I also thought that it wasn't, like, she can't have a happy ending, right? Like, I wasn't that surprised that he died.
Well, but that's the thing, is that's what I think is so great, and what makes this movie, when it ends, you're like, this ain't over. This isn't right. a happy ending. And that's what's so fun about this movie, is that you're like, this story is still going, because clearly she's going to be champion and go up.
Exactly. But her motivation is solely now revolved around his death. And that had to happen. Otherwise, they would just live happily. Like, otherwise, they would have just walked down.
Well, it could have been somebody else. It could have been Ito. Could have been, you know, her father figure. It could have been anybody. But I would, you know, and that's what I mean. It's like the misdirection of that, in that they show you that they, you know, like, oh, I'm going to chop his head off. We're going to save him. I'm going to use my heart, keep him alive. Then we're going to put him in a body. And then he's going to run up a tube and die.
Right.
It's like, that doesn't happen. You know, it's like, I know if anybody's listening that's read all the books, they're like, yeah, it does. This is all this information you're asking about right here.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have been as fun if you knew the backstories to all of these, but this movie is.
Maybe not, yeah.
So much fun. So much fun. And that, like, you know, we can wrap up on that and the ending there, when they, you know, they show you that part that you kind of knew is from the beginning of when she first put on her first pair of rollerblades, that's how the movie was going to end. And that being said, you might know that that's how the movie's going to end, but you didn't know the journey you were going to go on, and you didn't know how you were going to feel. And at that end, when she looks up, and that was pretty cool too, with the sword. I did read about that sword. That sword is pretty, prevalent in the comics as well. That's her sword, but she had it. It was two swords, one in each hand, that she joined together to make like that.
Oh yeah.
And that, I think, from what if I'm understanding what I read correctly, they changed that a little bit, and how she took that off of Zapan.
Yeah.
How she won it off of him in the final battle. That wasn't in the comics, so I thought that was pretty cool how she got the sword that way. But it's an iconic sword, I guess, from the comics too.
Okay,
but yeah,
I mean, you knew she was going to end up with it. You knew the second you saw that sword on screen that she was going to end up with it. I mean, I did anyway.
Well, yeah, there was so much going on. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't paying attention to that she's going to get that. For all I knew, she was going to break it, because you're right that he said, like, this thing can cut through, you know, it's a magical sword. He didn't say magic, but how it cuts through cyborgs like butter or whatever he says. So I didn't know if that was a threat, that she would smash that threat later in the movie, or if it was to, like you said, like, you picked up on it, and it's like, that just meant how iconic the sword is, and she will get that and wield that sword.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, when they, I can't say it enough, that, like, when that ended and she's got the sword up in the air and she's looking up at,
Yeah, well, just the image, right, of Nova standing in his tower looking down on the stadium. And you get the sense that he can see her for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know for sure that she can see him. You just know that she's pointing up towards him. I don't know if she's got super eye vision. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't have
the big
Superman's
eyes get
vision.
Big vision.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if she could actually see him. But you know she was looking up towards the city and making her point that the only, you know, she was going to get there the only way that you can, which is by winning the...
But here's the thing, and that's what's kind of fun about what do we do now? He knows she wants to come up there.
Right.
He knows she's not coming up there to play nice. Do you allow her up? Or is she going to have to battle her way up there? And you, I mean, she should be up, you know, according to the rules, laws, whatever, she's allowed up there because she's the champion. But do you let a champion up that's going to cause problems?
Right. Well, I don't know how you stop. Well, I don't know. I don't know how you stop it from happening. If that's the rule, that's the rule, right? I mean,
well, if you're the one making the rules, Miss.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. She's going to get up there one way. I mean, the movie doesn't progress if she doesn't get up there, so, yeah.
But that's the thing, is I have a feeling the next movie's not going to be like, oh, here you go, you get to get up there. I think it's going to be, okay, well, we're going to change the rules. Then she gets upset. I tried to do it the right way, and now it brings her up, or who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure, right.
Rodriguez, they told a great story here. That's why I'm looking forward to sequels. I think they'll do a great job with whatever's coming in the future.
I think so, too. I just hope we get it. Like, there's too many times where, you know, I'll go back to Solo as well. There's so many times where these movies come, they start with the promise of more, and then they underperform a bit, and we don't get it. And obviously, there's book. Like, if I want the rest of this story, I can go to the books and I can read. But there's no guarantee that that's what we were going to get in our movie.
Right.
You know, whereas with Solo, if I want the rest of that story, there's no material for me to go mine to get the rest of the story. At least with this, I can read the books and get the gist of what's going to happen. But it will be a shame if they don't make a sequel, because I would really like to see where this goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And not having read the books, I think it just, these movies, it just makes you want, you know, not having read the books, you have less information, so it makes you want for more.
Right.
All right. I think that's enough. Do you want to say a few more times how much we like this movie?
I think they understand.
Okay. Did we get our?
Did we hammer the point home? Yeah, that we liked this movie. Yeah.
Would it be fair to say that this is like the surprise movie of the year for us for 2019?
Yeah, for sure. Based on the fact that I had no expectations for this at all.
Well, that is the definition of a surprise, yeah. John.
you know, but even
coming.
But even going into, you know, Monday afternoon when I knew I was going to watch it, I mean, it's not like I wasn't excited to watch it. I mean, I'm always happy to sit down and watch a movie, but I didn't know what, like,
better
I really had no, right. I had no expectations for this. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be that great. Yes. For sure, I think it is the surprise movie of this year, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like, I had to go back and look. Like, I had forgot this even came out this year. Because when I was like, they have to have announced a sequel already. And then I was like, oh, well, it only came out in January. So maybe they haven't gotten that far yet. For some reason, I thought it was older than that. But yeah, it came out in January of this year.
Okay. So I thought it came out around the time of Captain Marvel. But that would be only a few weeks earlier, like 4 weeks earlier. But, oh, okay. No, release date was actually February 14th. So it came out about 2 weeks before Captain Marvel or so. Because that came out at the beginning of March, right, Captain Marvel?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Something I had read said January, but obviously you've got it there, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, IMDb says release date February 14th, 2019. So, oh, one last thing, little bit. So the comics are called, it's actually called Gundam or something. There's one version that's... the manga version, I think, is like, and I'm probably screwing this up, and I apologize, but it's like Gundam is the term, and then another, and then the other one is Battle Angel Alita.
Right.
Do you know the reason they called the movie Alita Battle Angel?
And no.
Of all the movies, all the, I mean, you know, I know you're a James Cameron fan too. All his movies are either A's or T's.
Oh, really? So they had to change it to make it an A, huh?
Abyss, Avatar, Terminator. Right. All of his movies are A's or T's. that, and Robert Rodriguez said that. He's like, well, we got to rearrange this name here. We can't call it Battle Angel Alita because we got to. So they took the A, moved it to the front, and it was like, okay, he's still, he's still on
that.
Pace. I didn't either. I read that on, I think it was on IMDb.
In my whole lifetime, I never would have figured that out or put that together.
I love know? Little stuff like that because yeah. that just nails home all that stuff. Like everything,
now,
everything means something.
Because now as soon as we finish, you know that I'm going to go and look up every movie that James Cameron has ever done to try to find one that didn't start with an A or a T.
Well,
so.
Why wait?
Because nobody wants to wait while we do this.
The magic of editing.
Yeah.
Known for Avatar, Titanic, Terminator, Aliens, Avatar, Avatar 4, 5, 6, 7, what else? Terminator, Dark Fate, True Lies, Alita Battle Angel, Torek, The First Flight, Terminator 2, Terminator Genesis, Aliens, Terminator. I'm just reading all Avatar. Here we go. Terminator Salvation. Yeah, so all
they're all A's or T's so far.
So far, yeah. We haven't run into anything else. Oh, he was a creator on Dark Angel.
Okay.
But that's a creator, yeah.
Right, that's a creator.
Apparently credit. He wrote special material for the 74th Annual Academy Awards, but that would be Annual Academy Awards. Academy
you
Awards,
go.
You got your A. Yeah, I mean, it's everything here. Oh, he wrote the screenplay for Strange Days. I don't know if you ever saw that. That's an awesome movie. I didn't know he did that one, too. Yeah, True Lies. Yeah, basically anything that he had a hand in. I mean, RoboCop versus the Terminator, he did. I don't know what that was, but now we're getting into some, like, nitty-gritty
obscure
stuff.
Obscure stuff, yeah.
All, like, different little things. But, yeah, everything's TNA. Okay.
Makes sense. Yeah, TNA.
He's big into TNA.
Yeah.
But isn't that...
Aren't we all?
But I... never mind that. I just... That's... Like I said, I love that little thing that, like, people do stuff like that. Like, you know, they have the little quirks and
right.
everything means something. Like, what are we going to come up... Well, you know, like... I don't know. Like, was he thinking of doing another ship that sunk but had to go with Titanic because it was a T?
Right. Like, maybe it was going to be the Lusitania.
He could have done that, what, Andrea Doria? But
right.
That would have fallen in, right? That's an A.
Right. Well, like I said, is it the Lusitania,
the Lusitania
or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one wouldn't play.
Yep. All right. That good?
Yep.
We're going to wrap this up.
I think so.
So, if we weren't clear, Alita Battle Angel, two thumbs up.
Yes. Once again, we liked it.
We liked it. All right. Let us know what you thought. Did you not like it? Did you hate it?
Right.
It's like, holy cow. Cause, like, people...
Tweet us and let us know if you're unclear on whether we liked it or not.
Yeah. No, yeah, if you didn't like it, let us know why. That'd be awesome, too. Because, you know, tweet us at thebrightside_chat. Email us brightsidechat@gmail.com. iTunes, please rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. That'll help us out a lot. And, of course, we are on the nudie.
Is that a new one that we're on? What's the URL for that? I need to be checking that one out.
Oh, man. Wow, this one's
Am I supposed to be naked when we record this? Because I don't know if I want to be on FaceTime for that.
Hey, John, that's not where the camera goes. Come on, buddy. I want my eyes up there.
Yeah. My eyes are up here, not down here.
And move the camera. Oh, boy. A lot of outtakes.
Yes.
All right. And, of course, we are. Oh, God. Yeah, this is going to be like a 15-minute podcast.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're proud members of the Nerdy.
You can't even get through it now.
Because it keeps popping in my head. I'm like, the nudie. How is that?
This is like the end of Cannonball Run. I feel like Dom DeLuise.
Oh, God. Oh, man. All right.
I'm going to look over here.
It's not you. I just can't. It just pops in my head. Oh, God. All right. I was going to tell you to do it, but I want to finally get it so when people hear it, they know what I went through.
Right.
And, of course, we are proud members of the Nerdy Legion.
Still didn't do it.
Oh, boy. And, of course, we are proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Right, John?
Right, DJ.
What do we got coming up at the end of on Wednesday, John?
Well, not as big of a week as we've had as far as new releases. Of course, we get Batman 78, which is one we've been looking forward to.
Yeah.
Event Leviathan number 4 comes out this week also, and then of course Powers of 10 number 4 comes out this week. So those are some that we've been looking forward to for sure.
That's cool. You know what I'm looking forward to about that? It sounds like a light week, and my wallet could use that right now. We've had some pretty big weeks these past few weeks.
We have it that.
Yes. So that'll be nice. I mean, yeah, we got Powers. What about what do we got for Absolute Carnage?
We have got Absolute Carnage versus Deadpool number 2.
Okay. Yes. That's cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. That should do it.
All right.
Let's get out of here. We'll see you on Thursday morning.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Hey, Fred. But the story is a
Take 3.
Okay.
So, action. So,
I can't talk.
Cut.
So, all right. So the story is basic. But the story is basically a post-apocalyptic. What the heck was that?
Sorry,
you're killing me. I finally said the word right.
I forgot to turn the speaker down on my computer. Okay.
So.
This is going on the blooper reel at the end.
No, because I finally say post-apocalyptic. And, you can...
and my computer goes.
We get sound effects for when DJ says a word correctly.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.